there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome, everybody, to the Everyday Truth Podcast. This is Nathaniel Skelly joining you again, of course, with my dad, with Kurt Skelly. Glad to have you tuning in and excited that you'll be able to join us as we look at Joshua chapter 15 today. Dad, again, we are in a chapter where a lot of the content...
63 verses.
And like some of our previous chapters that we've covered, we see a lot of this land and this border and this river. And again, some of these passages that we tend to skim over. But as we've discussed before, every word of God is important. It's in there for a reason. So what do you see as a whole in chapter 15? What are some things we can take away?
Well, I mean, and you're exactly right. It's the northeast, southwest, this border, that place, and it all relates to Judah. And it's interesting to me that it seems as if extra attention is being given to Judah in this book, and obviously in this chapter. And remember, I think last episode we talked that Jesus, Messiah, is from Judah. So there's going to be a natural emphasis on that which relates to Christ. I'm thinking about what Jesus said to the religious leaders in John 5, where he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." And then this great statement, "And they are they, the scriptures are they, which testify of me." So hermeneutically, one thing we know, hermeneutics just refers to the science of Bible interpretation. So as we interpret the Bible, we know that one of the themes we can keep in mind is that this is in some way talking about, pointing to, clarifying the ministry of Jesus Messiah, Jesus the Messiah. So I see a rationale for added information about Judah. And then, you know, what we said last time, and that is that borders are important. I remember, you're probably too young to remember this, Nathaniel, but our second house in Pennsylvania, you're not too young to remember the house. It's the farmhouse with the acreage, yep. And we just enjoyed that. Great place to raise boys, especially. But I actually got a call one day from a natural gas company.
Yes, I do remember this.
Do you remember that? Yep. And they wanted to drill, not even on our property. They were going to drill on another person's property, but because the gas ran underneath our property, they were going to unitize our property, and I was going to get a royalty from the gas. Mm-hmm. And I remember the question, are you willing to do that? Let me think about that. Yes.
Yes. Get a check for doing nothing.
Absolutely. It's kind of like pastoring. So anyway, I remember that one of the things they did was they surveyed. They wanted to know exactly where my property stopped, because there was a well, there were certain distances involved, and all of a sudden, the borders of my property became very important. Yeah. And I have to think in Joshua 15 that, you know, borders are important to the people that live there. Mm-hmm. In our country, we talk a lot now about borders. And regardless of what side of the equation you're on, I think we can all agree that borders are important and their protection is important. And we find that in Joshua 15. So again, a lot of verses that give a lot of places and things that we might never be able to envision. It was very important to them, just as our property and what God has entrusted to us and the stewardship of that is very important to us.
Right. And that's a great point. I'd never considered about the importance of including Judah and the history of Judah, because it follows with the line of Christ. And I think that's a great point. Now, tucked in there, In verse 15, we do find a little story that's kind of a break from all of these descriptions of the borders about Caleb and Othniel. And it's a very interesting passage. So can we look at that, Dad, and read through it and then discuss what the significance of that passage is?
Yeah, we talked about Caleb last chapter and about his just indomitable spirit and 85 years old and I can still do it, you know, and give me that mountain. And you love that spirit. Well, in verse 14, drives thence the three sons of Anak. The giants, the sons of the giant he saw 45 years before, and it lists their names there, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer, or Kiriath, the village of Sefer. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." You know, obviously the culture was different then, but he wanted his daughter to be married to the kind of guy that had faith, mm-hmm. the kind of guy that had courage, the kind of guy that was a leader. I thought that's a good dad. So we kind of look at it as, well, how cheap is that? You know, kind of giving your daughter away as a prize. No, the point is, this would be a way by which he could vet out the kind of man that my daughter should have.
Then that's a good point, because in our modern day viewpoint, that seems pretty backward.
Like, that's right.
Like this, I'm giving you a piece of land, or I'm giving you some of my herd. Oh, I'm giving you my daughter. But I think that's very true. He wanted a godly and a man of character to marry his daughter. So
yeah, and I think I would say to our listeners, if somebody would be willing to give me like $100 Dunkin' Donuts gift card, I'm willing to give you Hannah to be your wife.
And we have a 3-month-old daughter, and you cannot give me anything.
Your tune will change over the years. I'm just kidding about that. No, well, almost kidding. Maybe a $200 gift card. But I'm digressing. So Caleb says, if somebody takes this city, then I'll give that person my daughter. And I do see some application there, that as dads, we want the right kind of man to marry our daughters, or we want the right kind of wife for our sons. So here's a dad vetting that a bit. Now, I like that. So the Bible says in verse 16, here's the offer. Verse 17, Othniel. So that's our introduction to Othniel. Now, we're going to read his story again, because Joshua, next book is Judges, in succession of the Bible books, but also in chronology. And the time of the Judges, where Israel was ruled by, delivered by judges, the very first judge was this guy, Othniel. So at this point, he's just a single young man. He's a single young man that's taking a challenge, a very difficult challenge. I'm going to take a city, and I desire to be married into Caleb's family. It was not so much even about Aksa as it was about him viewing this as a godly spiritual heritage, valuing what is important. And so that's what Othniel did. He won the battle, and the prize was Caleb's daughter, Aksa. But the story doesn't end there, because Caleb gave Aksa, as part of the wedding present, as part of her parting gift as a daughter now to be given away to this husband, he gave her a plot of land. But Aksa had some wisdom about her. And she said, "Dad, I'm going to ask you, in addition to what you gave me," and that was a wonderful gift, "but in addition to what you gave me, I want to ask you if you'd also give me a spring of water. Give me a spring of water. Matter of fact, I want to read it for you. Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. So give me springs of water, and he gave her two. So I see so much here. Here's a father that's blessing a child. And the child says, would you give me an additional blessing? And the father said, no, I'll give you an additional blessing. And the verse that comes to my mind is the verse in Ephesians, where the Bible says that sometimes God blesses us above what we could ask or think. Mm. Yeah. And then I think about that verse in James 4, where it says, ye have not because ye ask not. So here's a child going to a good father and saying to that good father, you've blessed me. Would you give me, just asking? I'm sure she would have taken no for an answer, but she asked, and that father blessed her by giving her what she asked and giving her beyond what she asked. And I guess the application would be, we have a good father, and our good father has blessed us, but it's not wrong to ask and say, Lord, I want my land, the blessing you've given me, to be as profitable as it can be. And land is not going to be profitable without water to irrigate, water to water the crops. And what a wise woman. So here's Othniel. God goes on to use him as a great judge, delivers Israel from the hand of Chushim Rishathaim.
Good job remembering that one.
The king of Mesopotamia. They had dominated Israel for 8 years, and Othniel was a faithful man, and his wife was a faithful woman. Here's a young couple, but already you see in them the seeds of a harbinger of what they can be, what they will be for God. Mm-hmm. And so I would say to a young man out there, you know, take advantage of every good and godly opportunity. I would say to a young lady and to a young couple, don't disesteem these early days. You know, these are days of forming and forging. And that's what happened in the life of this young couple.
Yeah, that's great insight. And I think that speaks kind of to the importance of what we're doing with this podcast. You know, that's a passage, those few verses we may read and, oh, okay, Othniel conquered the city, and oh, Aksa, she asked for these springs and he gave her these springs. But what does that mean? It's in there for a reason. These aren't just filler verses and digging for that truth and that insight. So then that's great. One last thing I want to mention just briefly, or get your take on it. The very last verse of this chapter talks about the city of Jerusalem specifically, and it says that the Jebusites were able to hold that city. So in all of this land that was conquered by Judah, Jerusalem stood alone in that it hadn't been conquered. And what do you see as the significance?
Smack dab in the middle of all of it is Jerusalem. And of course, we know today the most important city in the world, Jerusalem, as far as from the standpoint of Christianity and Judaism. And they couldn't take it. They should have been able to take it. God told them to, but I think there's a teaching even in that, because who eventually did take Jerusalem?
It was King David.
King David. And Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, here's the tribe, from the line of David. He's the son of David. So I find it interesting that God reserved that city for David, the forerunner of Messiah, to take that holy city, that place, the place where Jesus will return one day. Because David took that city out of the hand of the enemy, and Jesus one day will take that city. He'll come back one day. He'll set his feet on the Mount of Olives. It's under someone else's control, but he's going to walk right in that eastern gate, and that city will become the capital of the world. And so even in their weakness, God is strong. Even maybe in their disobedience, I don't even see them attempting to take that city. God is strong. And ultimately, we're going to see the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. Not just a pipe dream, not just a myth. You and I, as believers, will see that one day. Well, I appreciate you joining us again today. And Nathaniel, thank you for joining us for these last few days.
Absolutely. Glad to be a part.
He's heading back down to Florida. And so we're not going to hear from him for a few episodes, but I sure appreciate his willingness to be a part. And I appreciate your willingness to listen every single day. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.